Welcome to the Fulamani Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:18 British Summer Time. Today is September 13th. Well, it's been a very positive day on stock markets generally, particularly in that Asian region, where we've had a number of markets pushing on to new all-time highs. Among those, we have Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines. The Philippines, in particular, is really getting beginning to look parabolic and is becoming increasingly overextended relative to its 200-day moving average. There's an open question now as to whether this is going to move into a massively overextended condition, or whether we're going to see a pullback in consolidation towards the 200-day moving average. Personally, I would prefer to see the latter, because it would extend the length of time that these can continue to push onto the upside, and probably improve their long-term possibilities. But at the moment, we are seeing an increasing number of Asian markets becoming increasingly overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages. The first clear downward dynamics, particularly if we see them on a common basis right across a number of markets in a very short period of time, would really indicate that we've probably seen a medium-term peak. But there's no evidence of that just yet. And from a trading perspective, it's a scenario for a trailing stop. From an investment perspective, probably not the best time to be buying in here as these things become increasingly overextended. But we, by definition, they will revert to their means at some point, and that is when we will be offered better buying opportunities. Elsewhere in the world today, the commodity sector was also really quite firm. We had corn up over 5 cents, so pushing on to 483 cents. Soybeans was also a little bit firmer. Wheat continues to show this rounding characteristic, and it looks like it is going to go higher. Oil pushed back above $77 for the first time in a while, and my stale bull position has finally moved back into, well, has moved into profit for the first time, but oil has left a long tail on the candle in here today, so we may see a little bit more rock and roll in the energy complex. The gold price was a little bit weaker in here today, down less than $1, so it continues to hold rather well in the region of the high near the $1,250 level. The $10 pullback that we had 1 day last week hasn't been followed through on, and gold continues to look like it is doing nothing more than consolidating in the region of the prior high. Silver is back above the $20 level. Palladium was up by 12 in here today. It's holding really quite well above the $500 level. And platinum was up almost $13 today, so that continues to find support in the region of $1,500. The dollar was a little bit weaker in here today, particularly against the euro, which was stronger by almost 2 cents. And that's on the back of it's Olly Rehn. I think he's the Monetary Affairs Commissioner in the Eurozone, saying that the Eurozone growth was going to be a bit stronger than previously anticipated. But the dollar was weaker against most currencies. The Australian dollar was firmer by 85 ticks. The pound was stronger by 2/3 of 1 cent. So we are seeing that risk is beginning to be brought back onto the table. Over the last couple of months, and particularly over the last month, we've had a slew of bearish reports and remarkably bearish commentary permeating just about every aspect of the financial media. And not only that deflation might have been a possibility, but that double-dip recession in the US was relatively assured. Well, you have Warren Buffett coming out now and saying that his businesses are growing and that he doesn't think there's any possibility of a double dip. Interesting that he waited for the bounce before coming out and saying that, but nonetheless, that is a shot in the arm for the bulls in this kind of environment. And we've seen that now a lot of stock market indices have pushed back above their 200-day moving averages. We're seeing Asia leading to the upside, as with Latin America. And that DBS report that I've posted in here today, it's really worth a read, because they're arguing that the Asian region is picking up the slack in terms of global consumption. and to a certain extent going it alone. And that's important because it's a further indication that we're seeing a certain amount of decoupling occurring in the Asian region. Decoupling has long been the holy grail for brokers, and we won't have any kind of real confirmation that Asia is completely able to decouple until we see the US or Europe moving into another recession and it having very little or no effect at all on the Asian region, and that wasn't the case the last time round. Monetary conditions remain extraordinarily accommodative, particularly in the USA, Europe, and Japan. And we're now seeing that the Asian region, because it is growing so much faster and inflationary pressures are beginning to make themselves felt, that interest rates are likely to continue to rise in that region. Interest rate differentials are one of the only hard fundamentals that you have in currency markets, and Asian currencies generally are performing really quite well, and they are now testing, I think, the April high as measured by the Asian dollar index, and look like they're going to sustain a break to the upside. And that is a tailwind for Asian equity markets, and certainly we've seen that these Asian equity markets have done phenomenally well over the last few months. But we're also starting to now see that there are a number of Western markets are beginning to play catch up, and the environment generally is really quite bullish. What we're seeing now, at least in those markets that have been ranging for the better part of the year, is that they're rallying up towards the upper side of their ranges. Whereas people have tended to become increasingly bearish as they tested the lower sides, they're probably going to become increasingly bullish as we move up towards the upper side of the ranges. It really will need a sustained move up out of those ranges to indicate that the medium-term upside has regained dominance in this environment. And we would need to see that evidence to really confirm that Wall Street and much of Europe has left what has been a very difficult year behind them. I don't think there's any reason to doubt that they are capable of pushing onto new high ground in the current environment. Something that I was looking at over the weekend, and I'll probably write about tomorrow, is high dividend, or probably a better way of describing them, are reliable dividend-paying stocks in the USA. There's a really rather an interesting index developed by S&P, which is the High Yield Aristocrats Index. And on a total return basis, it's outperformed the S&P in absolutely no uncertain terms. And when we can look at some of those shares, and particularly those that are leveraged to the growth of the global middle class, then they do offer really quite attractive growth potential with pretty solid dividend returns as well. And the search for high yield is likely to continue to be a major theme over the coming months and indeed years, particularly for those companies that have got steady cash flows and indeed have leverage to even better cash flow coming from the Asian region. The government bond market was a little bit firmer in here today, particularly the US Treasuries. They were up almost a half of 1 point. But what we've seen now is that these government bond prices have had a bigger reaction. And what had been a remarkably consistent move to the upside has encountered resistance and has had a bigger pullback. That's certainly not game, set, and match in terms of calling the medium-term peak, but it is certainly beginning to tick boxes that we've seen a medium-term peak for US Treasuries and probably gilts and bunds and JGBs as well. What we don't know is how long it will take those prices to come back down. And they were a little bit firmer in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion. So the short-term impetus remains to the downside, and while there is potential for a relief rally at some point, the likelihood remains that they've seen a at the very least a short-term peak and potentially a medium-term peak, which would also help to indicate that the remarkably bearish forecasts that have been put out over the last 6 weeks were probably wrong. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.